good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all my Fearlessly Free listeners out there. Thanks for tuning in to another installment of Fearlessly Free Goodness. So, today's episode is a continuation of Letter to the Church Playon. This installment is an extra special because today, guys, I have some amazing guests with me. I've invited four men from different backgrounds, because I believe that this issue is a man thing. This is not a church man or a secular worldly man thing. This is a man thing, in the same way that certain women display behaviours that potentially give women a bad name. I think this is, one in the same. And so today, the objective really is for us to really unpack and dispel some narratives and behaviours and mindsets that we as women have. And I think also as well, equally men have of one another, in order to be able to begin and help us to embark on a journey of healing. I think a lot of the times, a lot of us as women, we have negative opinions of men because our experiences of what a man brings to the table and who he is holistically. And I think that it's very unfair of us to have such a negative perspective for all men, particularly because us as women, let's keep it real, we haven't dated every single man in the whole entire world. So it's unjust really to, you know, tar every single man on the face of this earth by using that state, using such a sweeping statement by saying that all men are dogs or all men are no good or all black men are this or all white men are that or Greek men are this. Like, we have to begin to heal, guys. And so today's episode, I'm hoping my objective really is that we are able to start that journey together. We're not going to be able to cure every scar and wound, but my prayer is that this is the beginning of that process for the most part of us. So let me introduce you to my guests. First up, we have Ricky.
Going on, it's Ricky here. I'm definitely a man of faith, more of a man of works. Relationship status is married. Plus, I have three children. I'm a singer, songwriter, and a free speaker.
Well, hello, everyone. Thank you to Slinoff for having me. I'm honoured. My name is Emmanuel. I am 28 years of age. I am a father of two. Yep, got a son and I have a daughter. And yes, my background is of a Christian. Is of a Christian background. You know, one of them ones where you're going to church because your mom was going to church. Mm-hmm. But obviously, as time went on, I found God for myself, and here we are now.
Amen, amen. And who's next?
Hi, my name's Kyle, 34 years young, married, one child, Catholic but not practicing anymore, work for Croydon Council, I'm a caseworker.
Lovely. And last but not least, we have...
Nicholas. Hi, guys. I'm 25 years old, single, and I come from a Christian background.
Lovely. Thank you. Thanks, guys. I just want to say thank you so much for accepting my invite to contribute to, I think, a topic that has impacted every single person on the face of this earth. And just for my listeners who may not have actually listened to my previous episodes, this episode is called Letter to the Church Playon Part 2. And in my last episode, what I basically spoke about was, you know, why do some men and why do and Christian men play women? Why do they lead them on? Why do they date us ladies with no intentions of pursuing a serious relationship? Like, typically what I found and what I kind of spoke about in my previous episode was that what I found in my own personal experience, I can't talk for every other woman, so I'm not smearing every man out here, but what I found is that there just seems to be a lack of accountability. I think particularly more so for men in the African and Caribbean culture. You know, one thing that I kind of mentioned in my last episode was that, you know, if you've got a household of your siblings where there's, you know, it's half and half, you've got brothers and sisters, the girl you will find
tends to typically can be found to be the one that, you know, she's held accountable for her actions. She's the one who's got to do the cooking and the cleaning. And then the brother's just there and he's just allowed to play on the PS4 and the mum doesn't hold him to account. And they're not taught to take responsibility. And that's just my own personal experience. Don't shoot me down, guys. I also mentioned that I really felt that sometimes what we, and I guess I kind of put out there a thought of mine, which was that it could be that the behaviours that we see from some of these men is because in childhood, in their times of, you know, their upbringing, they weren't taught to take responsibility and be accountable, and which then leads to them as an adult being irresponsible and just, you know, hurting us queens. So today I thought, let me break it down a bit. I don't want to sound like the angry black woman. And I thought, let me invite my brothers on here and just really get a male's perspective, because I feel like, for me, I think that women, we do have this, you know, this idea, this mindset that men are dogs. It's not all of us. And I personally, thank God for my journey, I don't feel like that's the case for me. I have definitely been really hurt by men, but at the same time, I'm very hopeful that, you know, I will meet the right guy. And that's not because, you know, that's something that someone's prayed for me about or I've prayed about, but it's because I've actually met some really good guys and they actually cancel out, you know, the bad experiences that I've had. So I want to just basically, today, what I want to do is just ask some questions. And what I've done in preparation for this episode is I've actually asked some ladies to ask you guys some questions, guys. So I'm going to hit you with it.
Cool.
So be ready. You might need your bulletproof vest, but it's all cool. What I wanted to ask is, so this is a question to you guys. Have any of you been a player or led a woman on for with no intentions? When I say lead a woman on, let's just to clarify what that means. Like, you're dating her and you have no intentions of pursuing a serious relationship. You don't see it going to, you know, to the point of marriage. You don't see it going, you don't see her being like the mother of your children, but you will, like, for me, this just, it irks me so much, because I've dated guys, that, like, they got the right words. They're like, yeah, me and you together, like, I see us in the future and all this foolishness. And then 6 months down the line, they're like, oh, no, I just want to be friends. I'm like, what is up with that, man? Like, I just wanted to ask you guys, you know, if you feel like, you know, you can be, this is a safe place. Obviously, it's going to be out there in the World Wide Web, but it's a safe place. And, you know, no judgment here for me. But yeah, over to you guys, and just open up to any of you. Like, have any of you, if this is something that, you know, you can relate to, like, you can say, Rod, you know what, I was that guy. Like, I did lead on women with no, like, that. One of the girls that, just before I hand over to you guys, one of the things that the girl said was that, the ladies that I asked, was that they said that some men just use them as, like, gap fillers until they find the right one. So I just wanted to, like, throw it out to you guys, and just, like, if any of that resonates with you, feel free just to chip in and, yeah, let's get this discussion going.
I'm cool to jump in. This is Kyle.
Hey, Kyle.
So I think my experiences when I was younger, and say my player days, I was mostly upfront with women about what was getting into. But I think there's one situation that really resonates with me, I still look back on it now, is getting into a relationship with a girl where my intended purposes was to just enjoy myself. And I suppose that was maybe my ego, desire, sex, you know, having time to look after me. But I knew she was catching feelings. And really, the way I was operating was like we were in a relationship. You know, I've stayed in each other's houses, calling each other all the time. But in my head, it was just linking, and I was just waiting until I found the right person for me. But I wasn't really thinking about it. It's only when I found someone during a 4 or 5 month relationship with this other person that I just said, oh, you know, I ended it. But when I ended it, it was like catastrophic for this other person. I realised I made a massive impact on them, but I was just doing me. I was just having a bit of fun. But at the end, just to tag on from what you said, was the next person I met after that is the person I'm married to now. So really, I've done dirty on one person until I met someone that really just checked me for all those things I was doing, ego, desire, sex. They just G-checked me and made me rethink about how I'm operating. But I think for men, my peers that I was hanging around with, we did it all the time. We didn't think about the impact on the women we're talking to, because we didn't really care. It wasn't really the goal, was what we wanted to achieve. We didn't care about what happened along the way. But I think as you get older, maybe you start looking back thinking, I was saying whatever I needed to.
Yeah. Do you know why you did that, Kyle?
I think I wanted to keep up with everyone else, because everyone else was doing big things. Some of my friends were doing some magic. Yeah. And I was like, I want to get a bit of that. And then really looking back, you know, it's just it's little boy stuff. But at that point, that was important to us.
So, like, you touched on, like, and, like, it's a little boy thing. Like, to me, that means that that's immaturity. So do you feel like us women need to be, I guess, more patient and tolerant of a man's, like, level of maturity and maybe give room for him to grow? Or do you feel like when we see that they're not at the level of maturity to, like, maintain and embark on a relationship, that we should just then, at that point, that's our time to duck out? Just throw that out to any of you.
I don't know, I don't know about maturity. When I say I was on a little boy thing, it's when I look at now what I'm how I'm moving and the choices I'm making, I'm proud that I'm doing this. I say this king, call myself a king now. I'm trying to make king decisions. Back then, I kind of wasn't really thinking about what I was doing. But really, this person in question, they knew what I was about. They just didn't accept me for what I was. They were trying to look at me steps ahead. And really, I was quite open. No expectations. Enjoy our time with each other. Have some fun. But when I realised that only one of us followed that narrative, that obviously I upset the other one. But really, after, I started thinking, oh boy, I was kind of like, I didn't pull you along. I didn't pull the wool over your eyes. I was quite open. I think they just expected more of me and really put up with some rubbish that I was doing. And the worst stuff I did, and the more they took, I moved the bar. I start getting worse. I start getting to the point where I'm bored. I don't care what I say. I'm not worried about the impact of my words. So I say it's definitely both people involved. It's not all, like, it was me.
Yeah, but both.
But there were two people in that relationship.
Yeah, like, both of us need to take responsibilities, the woman and the man. 100%. I agree with that. Did anyone want to chip in on that?
Yeah, just going off what he said, I feel like a lot of women, again, like, they feel like they can change a man. Or maybe not change a man, but I don't know. Like, I don't know. I'm sure a lot of us can relate to this. You know, when, like, you're younger and you're in a fight, you have that one girl that'll be like, no, it will talk to me. It could talk to me. I can calm him down. And it's like, who are you? Like, I don't know you. Like, it's not to be that woman that can. Oh, no, it will listen to me. Like, don't worry, guys. I can calm him down. Like, nah. Like, stop it. Just let the guy do what he needs to do. You do what you need to do. And, I mean, I don't know. Stop trying to be the hero or the saviour. Right? If a guy wants to change, a guy will change.
Yeah.
He's not going to change. He's not going to change because of you. He's going to change for himself.
Okay. So do you feel like, just touching on that, Emmanuel, do you feel like, and this goes out to any of you guys, can answer it, but do you feel like, do you not feel then like there's one woman out there that can just cause you to change, like cause you just to come off your player ways, your immature ways, and make you, that makes you think, Rah, do you know what? For her. For her, but like I need to get what I mean.
I get what you mean, and I'm gonna the same narrative that I use for everyone. It's the same narrative I'm gonna use now. Think about when you first, those of us that were in the world before, and when you come to Christ, we all know that that option have always been there to come to Christ, and we don't, you know, like, or God can, if like God can force us to change, but it doesn't. It's, you have to be convicted within yourself first, that okay, you know what. I want to go to Christ, or I want to change. It, like, you're not, because at the end of the day, you're not changing for God. You're changing for yourself because you benefit out of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So
I hear that.
So going back to your question, I feel like the guy within himself has to be like, you know what, I want to change. But then it's like, okay, who is now worthy of this change, if that makes sense?
That's, let me just chime in just there. It's Ricky here. Like, I feel like you hit on the head there. The change has to be personal. It's about you and what you want to do with your life and where your head is. So after you've made that change, you're right. Like, you're figuring out who exactly is that gets the benefit from all of these changes. And if you're, that person doesn't come along or doesn't show themselves, there's obviously going to be that stage of what, dating or just, court to, I don't know if the court is the right term, but seeing out what options you have. And I'm the kind of person, I was never really a player. I always felt like I wanted to be because that was seemed like it was the thing it was supposed to do, because that's what I was surrounded by. All the guys around me, everyone had 2, 3, 4 gyal, and I had a bag of gyal cousins and I got sisters and, you know, bag of aunties, all that kind of stuff. So all I'm seeing is all of these guys and this representation of things that I'm supposed to be. And I realized what it was doing, because I'm a very observant person. So if I'm looking at what these things are doing to my aunties, my mom, my sisters, my cousins, all that kind of stuff, I've got a choice. Do I want to be like that and have this impact, or do I want to be like that and have that impact? So you make a choice yourself, and you make that choice based on where you see yourself going forward and how you see yourself going forward. And it might be that the kind of person that you want is nothing like your mum, or nothing like your auntie, or nothing like your sister, or whatever. And the type of person that you're looking for is completely different. So when someone comes along that kind of remotely represents something that you might want, you gravitate to it and you hold on to it, and you do whatever it is that you want to do or that you need to do to hold on to that. Just like women saying, why has he not proposed to me yet? Like, I feel like we've been together long enough, he should be proposing, or try and encourage it out of him to propose. And like, when he's ready to propose, he will do that. And a lot of women now are taking up the stance where, you know, I'm not going to wait, I'm going to propose to him. And I want to throw that out there. I want to, if a woman proposed to you, lads, like, how would you feel?
No,
like,
is that
something
you'd be on the heart? You know what? I'm just glad that the kind of women I date to, or I go for, they won't do such thing. So they won't do such thing.
No, you know what? I like this. Let's keep it real. Is a woman going to spend what a man normally spends on a ring, get down on one knee in public and propose to a guy?
It depends, you know. I know some women that will.
I just feel like,
I know some women that will.
I don't agree with that.
Those expectations are on us, though. We've got our expectations of having to do that, really. I did it the traditional way. I don't know 100%. How it would be the other way around. I've been receptive to it, but it'd be hard for me as a man to be like, oh, how'd you propose?
Yeah.
Or do. And then, you know what I mean? Have to explain.
Mm. And I think it'll make you feel like less of a man as well. Yeah. For me personally, I think there's a certain pride you take in actually proposing to your wife. And so it's a thing where you would want to be, you want to be the person to actually propose, because it shows, I don't know, authority. I'm allowing you to come to be my wife. You understand?
Yeah. I think the traditional way of proposals classically has always been, I'm willing to take you and give you something and build you up and all this kind of stuff, which is, I think, become the expectation. So now that it's not happening, it's become more about getting married rather than what the man proposing represents. Yeah. It's completely changed now.
I love that. Yes.
Yes.
We're hitting with the realness, but the realness is who we are. On a real one, though, like, some of us are fathers, yeah? If my daughter grows up to be in her 20s and she goes, Dad, I met this guy, I'm going to propose to him, I'm going to think, huh?
100.
Who's this guy? He's asked my permission. Right. He's not taking the lead.
Yeah.
Cool,
you don't see him as a man.
I want to look at him as a man. I'd be like, look at this.
Honestly, you don't see him as a man. You don't respect him at all. It's like, bro, you're letting my daughter step up. Mm. Like, for me, part of being a man is taking responsibility and showing leadership. And so if you're not able to actually show that, if you're not able to actually go on one knee and actually oppose, then are you actually a man?
Wow. But so let me ask you something, though. Like, in terms of actually going through with the proposal, do you feel like you have to be fully prepared in terms of exactly what marriage is, or is it something that you learn along the way with your partner?
For me, this is Nicholas speaking, from a single perspective, for me, I see it as, you do have to be ready to an extent in terms of actually knowing what you're getting yourself into, understanding actually what marriage is. Like, I forgot one of you guys said, listen, you have to understand, listen, actually, I'm going into marriage to actually serve, to actually help and better another person. For me, when I'm getting married, I also have to understand that I'm fulfilling purposes.
100%.
Like, there's a reason why God has put us together. And for me, I have to understand that if we're going to be together, we're also going to understand that, look, our purposes have to align as well. So for me, it's definitely having that understanding before you actually enter into marriage. I think a lot of people don't have that understanding. And when they get into relationships and they realize actually where it's going, it's like, oh, snap, I'm actually in the wrong relationship. And so therefore, that's why they pull out.
Right. That's interesting.
Well, back to what you said about marriage, man. I got married when I was 6 years into a relationship, and I was saying to my wife, I ain't getting married. I ain't marrying you. You're not going to tell me when I'm getting married. People are not dictating to me whether I want to get married or not. And then when she just said, cool, then about a year later, that's when I thought, oh, you know what? I actually want to get married.
Mm.
I want to go through it. I didn't realize what I was getting myself into. I think when I stood there and the guy was like, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, life or death, I was like, oh, my God, what? This is a serious contract. I've entered into a serious contract. And I'm like, wow. But then really, it's just a continuation. We've learned who each other are. Like, we accept each other's differences. We're from different cultures. She's Indian, so her family were like, oh, you met someone marrying. And I'm like, oh, what? No one's married in my family. We're Caribbean. Mm. I've been to one wedding in 35 years.
Wow.
So I think culturally it was different. But really, I like being married. I like wearing my ring. Mm. I like going out and people noticing it. They don't care, but I do.
Yeah.
I get the whole story, laugh, married. I like that. I like remembering I've got someone that chooses to be with me who I choose to be with.
Yeah. But even to go back to the first question as well, I wanted to touch on it as well, but I think also as well, what everyone said is correct in terms of actually changing for yourself, but it gets to a point where, guys are immature, and our immaturity shows in that, cool, it's what we want. So when we're younger, it's like, cool, I want to have sex, so that's why I'm going to go for a girl. It's not because I want to know her, actually. It's not because I want to marry her. It's literally because I want to fulfill urges. That's it. And then when we get older, we realize actually sex is not it's not the entirety of a woman, basically. And you understand that, listen, actually, women are more than just sex, and that actually you want to form a relationship with somebody. You want to actually understand them on a emotional level, on a mental level. Actually, you enjoy companionship and stuff like that. And then you realize, actually, you want to engage into marriage because you feel like this person has come to a place where it's like, I don't want to be away from you. I don't want to live my life kind of almost without you, I believe, as well. So it's a sense of us understanding that we were young, and then as you go older, as you develop into a man, we then understand, actually, cool, I want to commit to this person. Especially even being from a Christian background, for me, it's almost having as well to even relearn, because although I became Christian when I was 19, I'm 25 right now. But for me, for the first 3 years of my Christian walk, I didn't approach any ladies. The reason being, I felt I need to be grounded in my faith to understand my faith before I actually approached a woman. Because for me, in terms of the understanding of marriage that I had prior to that was different to the understanding of marriage I have now.
100%.
And so my understanding has developed. And so therefore now I am more ready to actually be a husband to a woman.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
To a wife, basically.
I love what you guys are saying. It's very rare that we get to hear from a man's perspective on this topic. And I love the fact that you guys have the opportunity for your voices to be heard. This is great, guys.
No, it's amazing. Like, we're not often asked these questions. You know, we're just often dragged through the dirt by the actual one. And it's horrible. Like,
Yeah, no, I agree with that, Ricky. It's not good. And I think that whilst our experiences and our feelings subsequent to the experiences, the bad experiences that we've had with men are valid, and I would never discount anyone's experience. I know for me, my experiences have been very much real and something that, you know, I've been on a healing journey from. And I recognise that there are some men out there who set out with the wrong intentions. But, you know, like you said, and, you know, I think also as well, something that Kyle said in relation to him being a black man and wanting to get married and the stigma behind that and the remarks that were made about him getting married. I think that, you know, that speaks for itself in terms of like the black community as well, in that, you know, there is this stigma that we cannot have healthy relationships. So I'm really pleased that you guys have come on the Fearlessly Free platform to dispel some of those myths and challenge those stigmas and particular behaviours that we've developed as women towards men across the board. So so the next question is for Kyle. We've all heard the statement, all men are dogs. Do you think that statement is true for the majority of males? Or do you think it's a byproduct of women's experiences and or her own unresolved issues that causes her to gravitate to broken men or both?
I think the way I'm going to go through it is my own perception of this statement. I thought it was true at one point in my life because I've got three sisters, raised by a single mum. My dad's a Casanova of my family. My dad is literally, everyone aspired to be him because he had a different girl in a different city all the time. But he weren't called dog. He was called the man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So we all looked at him like he was the man. Then what I saw was what it really looked like, having a different one each week and then the headache that comes with me as his son being taken to this house and that house. And Sheila, is it Michelle, is it Sarah? I can't even remember the name. So I think I thought of myself at that point, all men are dogs. Then I grew up and realised that I'm a man, I'm not a dog. I know some guys that are not dogs. I know guys that are not broken men, because when a woman gets with a guy, he's not a dog. He's only the dog after it doesn't work. Now, the reason why it doesn't work might not necessarily be because he's a dog.
Mm.
So I think that's a sweeping statement, but I think in some circumstances, you can define a man that is not really a man and he's kind of taking advantage of a woman, you could say that man's a dog. But I wouldn't say all men are dogs now, typically. I kind of resent it now a little bit, actually. We're in a place in the world where all these kind of sayings that people used to throw out, we're trying to break them down. And I think this is one that has just kind of stayed. And men have to kind of just nod along and go, yeah, you're right. But really, truly, I'm not a dog.
Mm.
I'm a king. Women are queens. I'm a king.
Mm.
I think not all men are dogs, which is sometimes we're largely in charge of how the relationship goes because we're told that that's our job. So if 90% of the time the man is ending the relationship, then yeah, you are going to be called a dog. But we get the blame, sometimes justified, most time not.
Mm. Anyone else want to jump in on that?
I think that boys are dogs rather than actually men.
Okay.
Because men take responsibility, like I said before. And so for me, if I'm a person who just goes about from girl to girl, girl to girl, getting what I want, it's only about me, not caring about the other person, how that person feels or caring about them at all. But when I'm a man, I take responsibility for who I'm around and who I'm with. And so therefore, I'm able to actually care for the person. So rather than actually think about my, it's my feelings, actually think about what are they going through. If I'm actually, if I'm not serious, actually not, let me take a step back because I don't want to hurt their feelings. You understand? So, yeah, that's my point.
Okay. Okay, so next part of the question, do you think that that statement is a byproduct of a woman's experience based on unresolved issues? Because the reason why I put this question out there is because I think that some of us women, I think all of us, we've all got issues in it. None of us are perfect. We've all got issues, male or female. But I think that there are some of us that desperately want to be in relationships, but we have some real deep-rooted unresolved issues. And there's the whole law of attraction and stuff like that. And I think that you attract who you are. In the most part, I think you do, there's that saying, as when I was growing up, my mum would be like, if you run with dog, you catch flea. So for me, I kind of feel like there's elements of truth in that, that if you are broken, if you are dysfunctional, you are going to attract or gravitate to dysfunction. What are your thoughts on that?
100%. This is Ricky here. I'd say that there's definitely some truth in that. I read. I can't remember where I read it, but it was people that need healing will attract healers, and people that are suffering with certain things, they're going to naturally gravitate or find themselves next to somebody that can remedy that. And a lot of the times, the relationships that we sometimes end up in are not necessarily for sustainability. They're for character building. And a lot of people get caught up in, this could be the one, and it looks like it's the one, and it feels like it's the one, but nah, that's to build your patience or that's to build your whatever it is that you need developing. So sometimes we're not in relationships because, this might be the one. It literally could literally be, I'm trying to build something in you, I'm trying to, build something in myself or trying to be this particular person, and this person is bringing out those attributes in me, and I need to stick with this person for this particular season. Like, people, obviously, people come in your life for seasons, so they're, and sometimes they leave, sometimes they stay. So it's just about what you're learning. So there's never a loss. There's always the lesson. So you can be the best person for that person in that season. By the end of the day, they're building something for someone else. You know, and that hurts. That hurts. But it's a true fact of life. So yeah, you do get those times when you're with someone and they just seem to be taking from you, and you don't seem to be getting what you want in the relationship. And sometimes it's not about you. Sometimes it's about that person and you just being that for that person. Again, that hurts and that sucks. But it's a fact. It's a true statement. Mm.
Nicholas, do you have any thoughts on that?
Obviously, from the question, for me, I think that it's a thing where women need to just also understand that it's when you're in a certain place as well, there's certain times you don't need to actually enter into relationship. So certain times we feel like we need a relationship when actually we're hurt. And so we need to actually heal from that in order to then go into the next relationship. Because certain times what happens is we take the baggage of the hurt, the pain which we had in our last relationship into the next one and end up attracting the wrong person. That's what I feel as well. It's a thing where people need to take the time out to actually heal, to actually rest, to actually understand who they are.
Yeah.
And then go and pursue someone, or then actually enter into a relationship.
Yeah, 100. I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. I'm the kind of person that if I've gone through a breakup, I'm not the kind of woman that will just instantly just run into another relationship. I feel like there's a lot of reflection that needs to take place. I think there's a lot of healing that needs to take place if it was a bad breakup, all of those kind of things. So, I definitely just echoing what Ricky said as well, like, you know, sometimes, you know, we go into relationships for whatever reason. It could be, you know, it could start off as a sexual attraction, a physical attraction. For me, I'm a sapiosexual. So if you get me when you, with your intellect. So if a man is just, you know, dropping those intellectual bars, like that's it for me, you know? So if, you know, I could connect with a guy on that level, but then as starts to unfold and we go on, I start to see that, hold on a minute, we actually are not compatible. And, you know, and that's okay. Like Ricky said, it's okay. And sometimes it's hurtful because you've built up, you've developed emotions and a strong emotional bond with that person. But I think it takes maturity and strength to actually say, do you know what, I need to walk away from this relationship. And I think for a lot of us women, we settle, particularly for, you know, women in my age group. Like I'm in my late 30s, and so it's especially for single women in my age group. They're like, oh my gosh, like my eggs. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, rah, like let me settle down with it, because we connect on like 3 levels out of 10. Like you've got your 10 boxes, and even with that, and I'm just using that term very loosely, like 3 is a very low score in the grand scheme of things in terms of out of 10. So like for me, I think that a lot of us, some of us, we do settle because there's that whole fear factor, you know, of, oh my gosh, I'm getting older, I'm single, I have children, my days, like my eggs, they're about to dry up and run out. And it's that whole thing. I think that within itself forms dysfunctional thinking as well. And, you know, I think a lot, sometimes with that, the byproduct of that is that we can then end up in relationships that do not serve us, and we then don't, in turn, we don't serve that particular man. So you're just wasting time. So I think I just kind of like put that out there for the ladies that are listening, like, don't settle, don't run from relationship to relationship because, you know, because of your age or the pressure that your family or friends are putting on you. I think there needs to be a security within yourself that we need to trust the timing of our life. And I think as Christians as well, like, you know, just because everybody else around us might be on a different journey that, you know, that we want for ourselves, we also have to trust the sovereign timing of God. You know, what he has for us will not pass us by. His words will return unto him void. And I think that's, I think a lot of us, we, when, you know, for me, and I can put my hands up and say, do you know what? I've kind of struggled with that, where I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord, like you said I was married, didn't it? But all now, like I'm still single. And I've had to really just go through that process of waiting and learning how to wait, but also learning how to trust. And it's been a beautiful journey for me because I'm so now secure in who I am and where I am at in my life. And sometimes it is a bit, I guess it's kind of difficult to see like my feet struggling, like in waiting for the right guy. And they make really silly mistakes and end up in these dysfunctional relationships. And, you know, just going back to the point, they, you know, they're broken, you know, broken from one relationship, then they're broken because of the second relationship, broken because of the third, and they're just leaving this blood trail behind them and looking for like this man to save them, but they're actually attracting brokenness and dysfunction themselves. And basically they're delaying their healing process. And where they could just sit still and stand still and just say, do you know what? Let me just heal from this and be whole for when the right person comes along. They rush. And in the midst of that rushing, they're causing more harm to themselves. So, yeah, I just kind of like wanted to kind of share that because, you know, in preparation for this episode, I spoke to a lot of ladies and they were like, but Selena, you know what? Like, time is running out. I want to have kids and stuff like that. And I think just to kind of touch on that point of the kids as well, like I come from, you know, I grew up in a dysfunctional home and I vowed to myself that I would never put my children through that. So if I'm honest with you, I'm actually glad that I don't have kids right now. Like, I didn't have kids when I was younger because I was dysfunctional and I was hurt and I was broken. And I think that us as women, we need to really self-reflect and look at the reasons why we want to have kids. Are we wanting to have kids because we need to tick the, you know, the tick box that society has placed, that pressure that society has placed on us? Or is it because we want to grow and develop healthy functioning human beings who will not repeat the mistakes that we've made and our parents have made and our forefathers have made? And I think there's a lesson to be learned in that, that sometimes, you know, we're rushing to have the marriage and the kids, but it's all for the wrong reasons. And in turn, we then repeat the mistakes and the pain and sometimes even the trauma and abuse of our parents and our forefathers. I just wanted to kind of like put that out there and just kind of leave that nugget for my female listeners. But yeah, so moving on, I wanted to speak about, like, I don't know if you guys have listened to my previous episode, but I spoke about my personal experience of dating a guy who intentionally set out to deceive me. Yeah. And not just me, but he basically had a collection. It's like he probably had a woman for each day of the week, the way that my man was going on. And it's like, you know, like that, David, Kyle. Yeah. Like, and he set out to, he presented himself, you know, like the scripture talks about, you know, beware of the people that present themselves as wolves in sheep's clothing. Like, my man was the living wolf, innit? Like, and like, he, you know, he presented like with the scriptures and yeah, I love Jesus. And for me, I it's not even about the fact that he was a Christian for me, because for me, I just want a wholesome man. Yes, I do want a man that believes in God, but there's certain men out there that say that they believe in God and them and Satan are twins, you know, like that. So for me, it's like, it's like, you know, this guy, he presented to me like he was like, yeah, come to my church and da, 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 da. And at the time I wasn't really on church, and some of you, you know, like Ricky, I know you know my journey, but I wasn't on church, do you know what I mean? So it took me a while to even get there and to visit and stuff like that. And so you know, when I, you know, I started going and I really liked it and the people were cool and the word was all right, I was like, okay, cool, this is a nice little first stepping stone for me to kind of like rebuild fellowship outside of my peer group. And what was interesting is it transpired that he was just the liar from, like, look at the word liar in the dictionary, you just see his face, like, man went to extremes. And he invited like another girl at the same time, invited me to the church, and it ended up that he was playing both of us. And his mum's like a leader in the church, and the pastors, when, you know, when it all came out and I brought it to the pastor's attention, they were like, yeah, we know what kind of man he is, and they didn't do anything like about it. But that's another story. We're not even going to talk about that today. We're going to focus on the church player, innit? But like, for me, it's interesting that, like, I understand why some, just going back to our last point, like, I understand why some would call, say that all men are dogs, because that experience winded me. Like, and I'm quite strong person, like, by nature, but it really broke me and took me out for a good few months. And I was just by the lengths that he went to lie and deceive and cover up, all for it to just, and then at the end, it was like, he was like, after 8 months of dating and taking me out and introducing me to like his parents and like, you know, bringing me to his church and all that, at the end of the 8 months, my brothers, my man was like, yeah, we just need to be friends. I was like, oh, hell no. Like, and then it transpired that he then moved on to another woman. So he had to get rid of me to move on to her. And the only reason why he ended it with me is because I know her. And I was just like, nah, my brother, like, you deserve an Oscar. You're up there with Denzel Washington and them people there. Because you, did the most. And so for me, I just want to, I mean, you guys are reputable men, but I don't know if you can kind of shed some light on that, or like, what is it about men that, because I'm sure you know someone or some guys that have been like that, that like, why do they do that? What is it? Yeah.
This is Ricky here. Like, you know that they don't, a lot of people that behave like that don't, it's not necessarily about you. It's not that they're trying to hurt you in particular. It's that it gives them a sense of well-being, knowing that they can have one over on people. It gives them a sense of well-being, knowing that all of these people like me and all these people want to be with me and I'm able to do this and I'm able to do that. Maybe they weren't able to get away with stuff when they were younger and now they can. You know, it's not necessarily about you as a person. You understand? It's more about them and their ego and what they feel representation of a man is and whatever it is. So that we have to understand the imagery that we've had growing up, especially as young black men, has not necessarily been a plethora of positive role models. We had Sharp. Look at Will Smith, for example. Like, as much as the greatest Will Smith is, obviously now he's married and all this kind of stuff is different, but when we were looking at him on the Fresh Prince, he was a player, you understand? And that's what we had to look forward to. And we were only looking at someone like Uncle Phil who showed a different side of things, but even they touched on a certain types of things in his history that, you know, coming up, he was trying to be the ladies' man and everyone wanted to be with the ladies' man, and every woman felt like they were going to be the one to tame the dude. And, like, every single woman failed. It's not about the woman. It's about the guy and what he's doing. And it's not the intention. It's not the intention of him. I can only speak for myself. If I put myself in a position, it's not necessarily about the woman. It's about what I can get from the situation, you know. And I'm be trying to hurt. It's just that's collateral damage. It's not intentional, you know. It just comes out. And you what just to touch on what you said, Selena, I just wanted to make sure that you knew that stuff that he was doing was not about you. It wasn't ever about you.
I think like, you, Ricky, will know like my journey over the past 5 years in terms of, like, you know, discovering who I am outside of church and stuff like that. And this whole Fearlessly Free journey has been so enlightening for me, because it's helped me to, like, through this journey, God has shown me my worth in him. Like, you know, like, he sent, like, that whole, you know, when we hear in the church, like, you know, when we read in the scriptures, like, you know, God sent his son to die for you, like, you're worth so much and blah, 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 blah. But God has really walked me through that, meaning of that. Like, I am his prized possession. And so my self-worth has really just developed, and just I know who I am, and I can say with my chest now that I'm a queen. And it's not me trying to convince myself. So when that happened, I was like, do you know what, Rude Boy? 1 point to you, innit? Like, I lost out. I'll take that L, but it hasn't eroded or ebbed away at my worth. I know who I am. So, it just is what it is. And I think that, you know, I think when guys do that, it's easy for someone like myself who is on this Fearlessly Free journey, who can just say, do you know what? Like, you know, I'll take that L and I'm cool. Like, I know it's nothing to do. It's not a reflection of me. It is a reflection of him. But there are some women out there who feel like, do you know what? There's something wrong with me. You know, I didn't do enough to secure the man and stuff like that. So I'm just really encouraged to hear from you guys that, you know, it's not about anything. There's nothing that we can do to quote unquote secure a man. It's basically down to that man making that decision within himself. To say, do you know what? I want to go all the way with you. So yeah, that's brought some healing, like, for me, and I hope it's brought some healing to my female listeners out there. What I did want to ask was, I think just this one's for Nicholas. Like, I think from in terms of that particular scenario that I, you know, my last experience, well, experience, but yeah, just in relation to guys like that within the church, what message do you have for them? Like from, you know, in terms from a Christian perspective, because, and the reason why I want to ask this question is because I am a Christian. And I believe that we've got the Bible. It's the blueprint of, you know, the of principles and behaviours that we are to, I guess, develop and grow in, that are a reflection of Christ. And also as well, I think in terms of our relationships with God, like, he's the all-seeing eye, and there's one day that we're going to come before him and he's going to judge us for how we've lived on this earth. And I feel like there are some guys, like namely that particular individual, who it's like, don't you fear God? What Bible are you reading? Like, are you reading your Bible that you published? Like, I don't understand. Like, what are we reading? The same Bible? Are we believing in the same God? Don't you have? And I know in theory, you know, the book of John talks about how the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, but I'm just like, rah, like, yeah, over to you, innit? Because it still gets me. I'm just like, don't you see, like, God is watching you, fam? Like, it's just mad. But yeah, over to you, Nicholas.
Yeah, well, I thought, obviously, yeah, certain men don't have a fear of God, to be honest, and that's the reason why they act like they're more, like I said before, in, they're more involved in what they want to get out of it. They're like almost narcissistic.
Mm.
And it's the thing where, like, I'm led by my emotions and how I feel. So if this person I'm with helps me or helps me to feel better about myself, I'm going to be with them regardless of how I feel. I don't, I may not necessarily like them, but it's a thing where I'm getting pleasure out of it. So therefore, I'm going to keep on doing it. But for me, it's difficult with that individual because usually those individuals aren't accountable. And so when they're doing their madness, it's a thing where no one really knows about it until it blows up.
Yeah.
You understand? So it's very difficult. And because they're not, and also they're not submitted under leadership as well. So therefore, even if, let's say, a pastor was to talk to them, a pastor can talk to them, but whether they're ready to receive it, that's one thing. That's another thing as well. You understand? So it's very, very difficult. So for me, but my advice in terms of even with girls and in going into, let's say, dating or courtship, whatever that may be, I feel there needs to be a healthy accountability. Understand and listen. Okay, cool. Who, like, what, one of the first questions, who are you accountable to? Like, do you have mentors, people that you speak to, etc.? And for me, even me getting to know these people as well. So for me, I have almost a confidence that, listen, okay, cool. If there's problems or if there's something I thought that's funny, that, you know, I can actually reach out to that person as well to speak to them. You understand? So there's definitely that accountability there. There's that being willing to be submitted to someone, under someone, I'll say. Both parties, I'll say.
Yeah. And just touching on the accountability, like, you know, what, because one of the questions that from, you know, some of the ladies for you guys was about, you know, in your peer groups, what accountability checks do you have? And, you know, you're talking about submission and stuff, and just kind of unpack that for me, because sometimes we can hear the word submission and we feel like that's like people have an element of control and they kind of infringe our like ability to make our own decisions for ourselves and stuff like that. And I think for me, my understanding in terms of, like, I feel like I submit to my friends. Do you know what I mean? I submit, you know, my siblings, because they are people that, for me, they are people that I respect. And so they're people that look out for me. They're people that want, you know, who have my best interest at heart. So when they are correcting me, or if they're like, you know, oh, Lena, like, you know, you shouldn't have dated that guy. Like, I don't know, like, do you know what I mean? You shouldn't wear that dress, Lena. Like, do you know what I mean? And it's because they're looking out for me. And so I can actually receive that instruction, that guidance, that correction from them, because I know that they've got their best interest at heart for me. And I think sometimes submission can kind of like be seen as like a like a bad thing, but I think on a day-to-day basis, we all in some way, shape or form are submitted to like someone, like our loved ones, like, you know, husbands and wives. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, I think friends to friends as well, like, because we love each other in that way. There's not an element of control, but we know that that person's got my soul, like, in mind, like, my well-being in mind.
So just to say a little bit, I think definitely in terms of when I talk about submission, it's more so also under the word of God as well. And I understand that God has your best interest at heart. And so that's why he's letting you know these things. Like, there's a reason why, cool,
100%. Like,
you should have sex before marriage. There's reasons behind, obviously, let's say, these laws and these things that he actually tells us to do, because he knows that it's for our best interest. And so for me, it's understanding that I think people have had a distorted view of submission, and that's why they don't want to be under somebody, because they feel that this person is going to dictate and tell me what to do, rather than actually help me to understand, you know, there's certain things that you shouldn't really do because it's going to hinder you in the future.
Yeah. I agree with that.
I think also when you look at John 14, verse 15, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I think we as believers, those of us who are Christians, if we're saying that we've chosen to walk the Christian walk, and we're saying that, you know, we want to reflect Christ in our lifestyle and we want to be more like him, think like him, behave like him, then it is as simple as that. If we say that we love God, then it's as simple as, you know, striving to keep his commandments. So I definitely agree with that, Nicholas, in that if you are submitted to the word of God, it enables you to have a lifestyle and live an authentic lifestyle that reflects his love for us, but and also empowers us to love not just ourselves, but love one another, which is another one of his commandments. So I think when we learn to love like how Christ loves us, it makes it that much harder for us to ill-treat others. So yeah, I definitely agree with you, Nicholas.
Okay, so it's questions from the ladies time. Kyle, one of the questions that was put out there was, have you ever checked or corrected a player? And do you agree that men who don't are complicit?
To be continued. Guys, we unpacked so much that I've had to release this in 3 installments. So stay tuned and look out for the next installment in 2 days' time. Until then, stay fearlessly free. Bye-bye.